The book of Luke chapter 16. What I want to talk about today is, I'm going to start from there. It's a continuation of what we have been discussing for a while, which you know. It's our faith basic series. We have been talking about the basics, the basic thing about the Christian faith. And last time, last few weeks, we were talking about the issue of balance. Balance, we said, is a key to life, according to the words of Ed Cole. And today I want to go on to talk about what I said I willed last time. That's a matter of the balance concerning money. There's a reason why I want to read the book of Luke chapter 16. It's the main thing we want to talk about, but there are some things that the Lord Jesus said here which I must highlight. All right, where do I start from? All right, the book of Luke chapter 16, I'll read from verse 10. It says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon," or like I like the way King James says, "the mammon of unrighteousness, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" Let's just read verse 13 to complete that portion. It said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. As a matter of fact, you cannot serve God and mammon." Now, that's the main scripture we want to use for today. But don't forget the one we've been reading again and again. That's our Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It said, "It is good that you hold on to one and not let go of the other." What I mean is this, is that we must learn to strike a balance in life. I need to keep on saying this thing again and again and again, because even if you said it 10 times, you'll be amazed that people didn't hear you the first 10 times you said it. So you just keep saying it, all right? It's amazing that people, this is just the way human beings are, they tend to hang on extremes. And people like laws. Actually, people love bondage. This just by the way, this is not part of our main message, just by the way to enlighten you about the things of life. You know, now, I've gone into politics and economics and history. So just bear with me for 5 minutes. Amen? If you'll be angry, say amen. You're not angry, right? Okay. Now, there's a saying, they have a proverb in Yoruba land. They said that any man who's not big enough to reject a level of suffering or bondage, if he rejects it, he has just signed up for a bigger one. Are you getting my point? All right. If you say, "I don't like this work, you don't pay much," make sure you have a better one before you resign. You get the logic. If you just wake up and resign and there's no bigger one, now poverty and hunger, do you understand? You will not realize that little is better than none at all. Do you follow my point? That's the reason why I'm saying this. Talking about balance and why people love bondage. I've thought about Nigeria. The time we fought for independence in Nigeria, it was a very useless time to have fought for it. It's human pride that pushed us. It is not because we deserved it or were willing or able to handle it. The African man generally couldn't stand it. Freedom. I'm sorry to say, the level that the white man brought it. It was difficult. I thought about it, and this is what you see. So you say, okay, leave us alone, go, let's manage ourselves. So they say, all right, no problem. Then they move back slightly and start watching you. Your quarrel before was that they were plundering our resources. You know what they said in the realm of the heavens? That, don't worry. See, now they were taking the resources. Now you will go and give it to them. Just watch. The men took from us less than our people stole and kept in their banks. Do you know what I'm saying? If you total what African leaders stole from Africans and took to Switzerland and Paris and United Kingdom, you will have wished those men had stayed back here. Because when a white man wants to steal your cocoa or your groundnuts, he will build a rail line from Kano to the port. The black man steals like an idiot. A white man steals like a parasite. A parasite will eat enough to keep you alive. He won't kill you. Because if you die, he's dead. He will steal small from you and wait for you to recover. Then he will steal small. But the local black African rogue, he will eat and eat and eat until both he and the host dies, then they bury both the parasite and the parasitee. I thought about it a few days ago. I said, this is it God? Let me tell you something about God. You can never prove him wrong. He knows too much. He said to the children of Israel, if you don't serve the Lord thy God willingly, you will serve your enemies forcefully. Because God said, serve me now. God is like a man who wants to marry you. Are you getting my point? He buys you gifts, he woos you, treats you nice. If you marry him, he'll treat you like a queen. The devil is a rapist. He's buying you nothing. He's taking it by force. Yeah. So God said, hey, just marry me now so I'll protect you against all these criminals on the earth. So what I'm going to say, when God says go this way, go that way. It's easiest. On the long run, it is. So he said, if you don't do what is right willingly, you will do that which is wrong forcefully. So people said, no, we don't want colonial masters. God said, the laws of the heavens, let me put it like that. He says, just watch. Before they came and took you as slaves, now you are wishing, the Africans are now wishing their great grandfathers were slaves. You know that? Yes. 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 You want to know why? You all play American Visa Lottery. You are wishing you're an American citizen. Nobody so. Hey, you see, God is interesting. Say, no, we will not be taken as slaves. God said, watch it. You will go there freely and subject yourselves as slaves. You see, they took my name was what's the name of that roots? Kunta Kinte. So he said, you are rejecting the white man's name, the one he gave you. You know what Kunta Kinte's brothers now do? His name will be Bankole Olusina. You go there and say, no, I am Lagbaja Odamo, according to one guy. He bought the passport. His name originally was Okechukwu Udechukwu. Very Nigerian name. Next time you see him is Carl Stone Braxton. Because they bought a passport that is not his own. Because they see, when the white man took you there and gave you, instead of Kinta Kinte, gave you a new name, you vexed. Now I left you to go by yourself. You rejected your own name with all the certificates you worked 5 years for. You know why? By the time your father said, no, we don't want colonial masters, they were not big enough for it. They should have waited 50 more years. Then they will have had children born and trained by colonial masters. They will have had people trained not just in the learning and the language and the, you know, the basic, the other things you learn in university. No, the culture. How to develop a land so as to plunder it and keep it developed so you can keep plundering it. But that's how white men do it. But black man will plunder the land so as to plunder it and plunder it until suddenly there's no land. If you left the white man to run Niger Delta, it will be the best developed part of this world. Because he will be reasoning that if everything works well, there will be no crisis. So he will build the best schools, the best rail lines, the best roads, the best hospitals, the best everything. So he can continue to drill the oil. What have I said? I don't know how I got there. I told you I was digressing to politics. See, that's why God said, never cry because of the arm of the oppressed. Don't fight the oppressor. Pray to God. That's what God said. God said, if I call you as a slave, remain as a slave. You know why God is saying so? In the center of slavery, I will build you up into a strong man so that freedom will set you free. Not the desire for freedom. I don't know what I can say. That is, you will become a free man. There's a book, Richest Man in Babylon. Go and read the story about the man who was a slave and was complaining to the madam. I was a free man. How did I become a slave? You were a criminal. No, you were spending more than you were earning. Then you went into debt. You owed so much money, you became a thief. While you were stealing, you went and stole from guys bigger than you. They caught you, killed the rest of you, and saved you, and sold you as a slave. So after he was complaining, the madam looked at him and said, listen, my friend, there's no man who can claim to be free, who is not first free inside him. By the time you are spending beyond what you earn, You are owing everybody. You become a thief. You are not a free man. Whether they held you as a slave or not is besides the point. You are not a free man. You are a slave today because really in your heart, you are a slave. So the woman gave him an opportunity. Prove yourself a free man. Go back home and go and start paying your debts. That's how free men behave. What am I saying? We can fight for... leave us alone. We don't want to be oppressed. We don't want to be oppressed. God said, if you have been oppressed, if the oppressor said, give me your shirt, a coat, offer him your shirt also. Say, carry my load for me for 1 mile. Say, oh God, what about 2 miles? You know why Jesus said like that? Until oppression is out of your spirit, fighting it outside will only send you into more oppression. The Jews fought the Romans. What happened? They lost Jerusalem because of it. The Romans got angry and leveled Jerusalem. If they had gone the godly way of repentance from sin, look, that's how life is. There's a proper way. There's a vexing way. You know, like the vex. I go kill somebody. Oh. Your name is Moses. You vex. You kill somebody. What happens? They eject you from that palace. Then you now become a hard worker in the wilderness for 40 years. No longer able to help those you were vexing on their behalf. How did I get into that? I don't know. Balance the key to life. That's what I was trying to say. My mind just went into that. Like I told you, it's not part of our message. You may buy this tape and not find it. Though I won't throw it away so that people can learn a thing or two here and there. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what I was trying to say is this. We must learn to strike a balance in life. And not just flow with our emotions. What seems right to the flesh? No. We must strike a balance. Now, last time I talked about zeal, this is just a good way to even talk about that zeal matter further. Now, what I want to talk about, like I said I would last time, is a matter of money. That's a balance. Okay, let's put it like this. Financial balance. Everybody say amen. Financial balance. That's what I want to talk about. That's a good way. All right? Now, what I'm going to talk about today is not totally new. In fact, if you listen to I saw the other day that we had quite a number of series we had done on money matters. There's one titled Your Money. Listen to it. There's another one titled Biblical Financial Management. Listen to that. Then if you get the book, Grace to Prosper, all I talked about was money matters in Christianity. Then also How to Work for God. There is a major section of it talking about handling your money and being a Christian. Why am I talking about it again? It's just to complete our series on the matter of foundations, because it's very crucial. From the words of Jesus, you see here what he was saying is that money is one of the things that dictate how you handle other things in life. Are you getting my point? That is very crucial. It's a fundamental thing about Christianity. Ability to handle money properly. Number one, there are two sides to it. Number one, handling money with integrity. Number two, handling money with... let me put it like this. Number one, handling money with integrity. Number two, handling money profitably. Yes, those are two things. A lot of Christians are good in integrity, but they are zero in profit. They won't steal from you, but they will ruin themselves. Do you know what I said? Christians sometimes trying to practice righteousness, they send themselves into unnecessary trouble because they are not good with profitable handling of money. They are not, but they are good with integrity. But there are two sides, let's not ever forget, there are two sides to it. There is a side of integrity, handling money with integrity, then there's a side of handling money profitably. Both of them are important as far as God is concerned. Now, I don't have all the time, and this is not even the forum for it. If you go and listen to our series, we did a seminar about 2 years ago here, Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy Seminar, SEEDS, season one, right? Season two will come up next year. Is that okay? Now, we talked extensively for many, many hours. The messages should be up to 9 or 10 hours when we talk about money matters, Christianity, business, and all of that. All right? Please, listen to that also. You'll see what I have to say about the matter of money. SEEDS, that's the name of the CD, Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy Seminar. So get the CDs. You will really learn a lot. All right? So I don't have all the time now to develop those things in detail. But just bear that in mind. Two sides that Christians must strike this balance on and learn how to handle money. One is with integrity, and two is what? With profit. Ability to handle money profitably, all right? And not to suffer loss unnecessarily. Now, we said that, reading from here, Jesus made it clear to us that ability to handle money is fundamental to the things of life. It will tell if you, the way you handle your money, or money generally, will tell me how you handle ministry. That's what he was saying. It will tell me how you handle your wife, your marriage, all right? Your business, of course, all right? That's not just about money. Your career, the way you handle money. Some people are very wasteful. God does not like waste. Waste of time, waste of money, waste of resources. He doesn't like any one of them, all right? God hates waste. Jesus said, gather up the remnants. After he multiplied food free of charge, he said, let nothing be wasted. He didn't say, freely we have multiplied, freely we shall waste. Are you getting my point? No, there's a world of difference. He said, gather up the remnants, let nothing be wasted. He wants people to be able to account for every money they spend. Now, he's not saying they should be stupidly prudent. Some people are so prudent, they deny God his sacrifices. He said, what do I mean? There are things you that looks like waste in life, that if you understand properly, they are actually not waste. They are sacrifices. Ever since I learned that, if you ask my wife, you know that I hate, this will surprise you, I hate social functions. I hate going to wedding ceremony and sitting down. Let's welcome to the high table, the chairman of today's occasion. I endured them. I used to say that I endured my own wedding. Yes, God is my witness. I was like, why do we have to go through all of this? Shebi, this is your wife. This is the father. Let's just arrange this in 30 minutes. And then I have my wife. That's what I came here for. It is your wife and all the other people that, go tie gili, rekpete, you understand? And cool. Ladies in hats, ladies in white, boys in jacket, everything. Man, that finish this thing and let me possess my possession. All this one that you people are doing. No, really. But, I don't like ceremonies, really. But, ever since I read the scriptures, I found out that celebration must always be in my house. So if you hear me say, okay, last year, you know, I did my 10th year wedding anniversary, and those of you were there, it was plenty anniversary. If I went, a lot of our friends were leaving. They said, hey, Pastor Banky, you have spoiled things for us. Because their wives will not agree when their own anniversary comes. And doesn't shell it like this. I asked one man in my office, why didn't you come for my celebration? Because it was my 10th year wedding anniversary. I did a family Thanksgiving, and then it was my son's birthday. We celebrated at the same time. I said, so I invited him in my office. I didn't see him. He said a lot of things, then he insulted me. He didn't know it was an insult. He said, I know your people. They like to spend money. He's lucky he's older than me, and we work in the same office. If it's one of you that tried it, I would have brought out my belt. I didn't care they're an adult. No, which one is belt? I leave the belt. I bring back my fist. We'll box ourselves properly. If you have the liver, box me back. You know why it annoyed me? That's what I'm telling you. That comment is so wrong. What I did as a sacrifice unto the Lord. When I'm calculating money, I said, God, that was offering. Now, if for those of you who are here, that I told you again and again, if you don't come, you are not functioning as a priest. Because priests must eat what? Sacrifices. I say, I'm sacrificing, so all the priests should gather together and eat with me. Every piece of meat, spoon of rice, bottle of drink that people consume that day, they were offerings unto the Lord. So we all participated in giving the Lord thanks. I don't have time now to explain it. Some people are so prudent, they deny God offering. Ever since I learned that from the scriptures, I'm not one that will not calculate and say, do you know this party will cost this amount of money? As long as we are not doing occultic sacrifice of shredding money into the fire, it's human beings that will eat the food. I found out that, listen, in fact, it's even scientifically on record. Those who celebrate their birthdays generally live longer. Yeah, they generally live longer. I tell people all the time, have a reason to celebrate. Stop being so arranged. You know, you are so arranged. Say, this tenner can go far. Yeah. Say, if I carry my friends out to go and eat, you don't know, they have money I will have used to eat for 1 week. Yes. Don't do it every day, amen? Don't do it every day. Balance is what? Balance is what? Thank you. But please, you must do it periodically. I call those things the priestly corner of life. Yeah, young woman, the man is chasing you. I know you are very nice and prudent. No, it's not chasing you. You are planning to get married. On your birthday, he buys you a nice gold necklace. Say, no, we could have saved this one towards the furniture in the house. It's not right. I'm not saying you guys now use all your money to buy gold to dress the girl up like Temple of Solomon. That's not what I'm saying. Balance is what? The key to life. Because there's a Judas ministry that does not understand why anything should be nice and sweet and enjoyable in life. And thinks everything should be given to the poor. No, the real thing is that there is a portion for the poor. Are you getting my point? And then there are portions. Listen, let me just say this again. I've said it before. When Jacob was going to thank God, Jacob made a vow to God that everything you give me, I'll give you what percentage? 10% of it. When he was going back to the land, the Bible did not tell us how he sacrificed, but we know he paid his vow. I can give you an answer. How did he pay his vow? It's simple. He took the animals, took 10% of them, slit their throats, packed them on wood, and set them on fire, and burnt them to ashes. And as far as he was concerned, he was giving God a tenth. It's a waste. It looks like a natural human being. But that's what I call the priestly corner of life. There are things you do that appear like waste, but they're actually sacrifices unto the Lord. Balance is the key to life. Now, first, let me say this. Money is a sign, is a reflection of something that is more tangible than the paper that we are holding. I'm not going to give us details on the history of money, but we know one thing for sure. Money is a form of what? Exchange. I am able to preach as an example. That's work. Let's assume I go and preach. I don't do that. And I hire my preaching out for some amount of money. And I need a house. Now listen, I don't have a house, but I can teach. Okay, let me use that one. More practical. I'm a university teacher. Now, I'm not going to teach the blocks how to arrange themselves and become a house. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, I'll go and teach somewhere. Somebody will pay me for teaching. So if I carry, let us assume, after teaching for years, I saved up 10 million naira to pay for the small house. That 10 million naira is a sign of the effort I have put into life. Are you getting my point? It's a summary of it. So I now use it, okay, to pay somebody else for his own effort to construct the house for me. That's just a summary of what money is. What I'm trying to say in effect is that money is not paper. It is not cash in itself. It is what it represents that matter. If I can't go into details about the world economy and the problem they have right now, which is when this principle was changed slightly, things have been confused ever since the changes were made in world economics. Is that okay? Now, why I'm saying so is this. What you do with money is a reflection of something more in life. Ed Cole said it like this, who I quoted earlier, as saying balance is the key to life. Ed Cole said most of your life as an adult, what you are actually doing is working for money. What it means is this. Assume you have a job and you work, let's say you're a very hardworking person, you work 10 hours a day. You work from 9 o'clock to, that would be like what? Like 6, okay? Like 10 hours a day, or 9 to 7, okay? Or 8 to 6. You're very hardworking, 10 hours a day. Now, he said that, now preachers have said this, I've heard this one a lot of times. Preachers will say that you can work for an unbeliever for 8 hours in a day. You cannot do anything for, you can't even come to church for just 1 hour for God. You know, that kind of thing. When I hear that, that's an uninformed way of talking. Are you getting my point? I work for an unbeliever for 8 hours does not mean I'm serving the man. It is what I do with the money that he pays me that tells you who I'm really serving. Are you getting my point? Coming to church does not mean I'm serving God. It just means I've attended. Oh, I pray that you will understand what I'm saying. It does not mean I'm serving God. I can say this without feeling bad. 75% of those who go to church in Nigeria of today, not Nigeria of 10 years time or 15 years ago, of today, they are not serving God. So I came to church doesn't mean I'm serving God. I walk for Dangote doesn't mean I'm a Muslim. Oh. I work for Dangote selling in the old noodles. Or which one does he make? Mimi, whatever. All the spaghettis and the flour and cement and all of that doesn't mean I'm a Muslim, because he's a Muslim. When I finish earning my wages, what do I do with the money is what tells you who I was really working for. Let me explain something to you again. When Jesus said, if you don't know how to use mammon of righteousness, of unrighteousness, unrighteous mammon, He was not saying money is a wicked thing. He was just saying there is no righteousness attached to money. It's a matter of neutrality. Money only picks up character, all right, from the person that's handling it. These are fundamental to Christianity. Now, next point, statement that I need to make is that how you use your money is a reflection of your faith. I heard somebody say something once. He said, your giving should reflect your faith. I thought about it yesterday. I said, no. That statement is not fine enough. It's not a should. It is a reflection of your faith. You don't try to reflect your faith in your giving. It is a reflection of your faith. Let me give you an example. This is where I like to explain it. Because these are the things that form how I spend my money. All right? Let us assume now that I believe that the gospel is the solution to the problems of the world. If you believe that, say amen. Now, you really believe that the gospel is the solution to the problems of the world. Let's assume you really believe it. Now, put that aside for a second. Let's assume a doctor shows up. All right? And he shows you that this particular drug is the end to HIV. And you have scientific publications for that. Okay? Just bear that in mind. Just bear those two scenarios in mind. In fact, the second scenario, let's even leave it. Let's not make it theoretical now. Let me get it very practical. I listened to one day somebody interviewed, the person interviewed Bill and Melinda Gates and Warren Buffett at the same time. Warren Buffett had just given 85% of all the money he had. At that time, he was the richest man in the world, or the second richest man in the world. He gave 85% of his money to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And what was his reason? And this is a matter of fact. He said that giving money is hard. Now, he didn't mean that as a stingy man. What it just means is that you don't throw away money. You giving money and throwing away money are two different things. A lot of uninformed Christians throw away money in trying to be givers. You know, if you're a multi-millionaire, a billionaire, you will get more requests for people asking for money than the amount of breath you take in the same period. Are you getting my point? So he knows that. So he said, listen, he discovered that Bill Gates is very good at giving out money. So that's why he gave Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, all right, all that amount of money, because he said they know how to do it, I don't know how to do it. That making money, I'm very good with making money. Giving out money, I don't know the principle. So I found out somebody who knows how to give out money. So I gave him all my money. Said, please, help me give out the money. Because from the beginning, his wife and him, they decided that they will make a lot of money in this life, but they must not die with the money. Now his wife had died, remaining only him. So he wants to quickly fulfill it before he goes to accidentally die while the money is still with him. So he first doled out 85%. We are talking about close to $40 billion. Somebody gives 85% of close to $40 billion. In one fell swoop. Boom! Now, what am I talking about? Bill Gates was now speaking. So Bill Gates will talk. He will talk about leishmaniasis, visceral leishmaniasis, and Warren Buffett said, look at him. This guy should be my doctor. That he knows so much about medicine. Bill Gates was doling out scores of millions of dollars, believing, listen to this, that these things will really solve the problem of people. He believes that they can achieve a malaria vaccine. He believes they can wipe out visceral leishmaniasis. He believes those things so much. You know what he's doing? He keeps pouring money into them. I heard Bill Clinton speak once, and he was so sure that in the next, maybe 50 or 100 years, that medicine will have become so good that people will routinely live up to be the age of 100, that nobody should die before the age of 100, 150. Give one figure like that. And he was explaining why. Cancer research, research into HIV, research into heart disease and everything. And I was feeling very sorry for him. Because he's a former politician, a lawyer. He does not know what he's saying. I know what they are saying. As you wipe out one set of diseases, you open the door for a new set. Research will start again. Now, so it be. Doctors have drugs right now to kill all the bacteria in your intestine. But they know that once they do it, there are some wicked souls that grow to replace them. Even Jesus said it, they are called seven demons more wicked than the former one you removed. You listen, except a man has a sentence of life, If you wipe out the HIV, the cancer, you will not find that the cancer is not bad. There are things more wicked than cancer waiting to kill them. That the only reason why that thing hasn't come is because cancer is still there. He said, except I go, the comforter cannot come. These are principles of life. There are some wicked spirits that can't come, go to except some wicked devils live. No, these are principles of life. You have to understand. So anyway, Bill Clinton was speaking. I was feeling sorry for him. Say, okay, you are confused. When you finish wiping out everything, you will discover that the cure is actually more toxic than the things you removed. Look, listen, God is in charge of life. Now, why did I tell that whole story? These men are talking, they are persuaded. Therefore, they give money to what they are persuaded about. It's a reflection. Let's not come back. If a man really believes, let's assume Bill Gates is a Christian, or Warren Buffett, and he has thought about it, and he has come to believe that the gospel is really the hope for the whole of mankind, he will give 85% of his income to somebody who's trying to spread the gospel, not the person trying to cure diseases. I don't know what I hear what I said. You see, I told you before, there are a lot of gospels that are born out of poverty, or they flourish in the center of poverty. I give a naira so I can get 10. And when I give the 10 naira, it becomes 1,000. Hallelujah. And as I begin to give the 1,000, it is turned to 1,000,000. You know heritage of poverty when it's talking. I've even heard a funny pastor talk about this is how to give to God. You make a pledge of 1,000,000 naira, amen. Then you give God 20 naira so that he can give you 2,000. Then you give him 2,000 so he can give you 20,000. But when you finish, he will now give you 1,000,000 so he can pay the 1,000,000 naira pledge. I said, Pastor, I think you should enroll in the Alibaba School of Comedy. Some things are plain stupid. If you're a human being, what kind of kalo-kalo is that? You're a human being. If you like, when you're a God, you would like somebody to play that kind of stupid joke with you. If you don't have 1,000,000, my friend, get away. Give me the 29 and stop disturbing me. If I'm God, I'll multiply my 29 the way I want it. What kind of joke? You'll be embarrassed. Anyway, I've told you, you see, when people from Haiti start preaching the gospel, you can understand that earthquake and cholera will be the mainstay of everything they are preaching. You don't blame. Ha! God, I hate all this poverty preaching. What am I going to explain? Warren Buffett is not trying to sow $85 million into the life of malaria. 85% of his $40 billion because he wants to get something. He sees it as a matter of what? Responsibility. They have been blessed. And that's, you see, the culture of capitalism in America, that's actually one of the things. If you read the people like, I read Henry Ford. If you read people like Adam Smith, I read Henry Ford and all of that, you see what this, actually the story of American capitalism, it is not how to capitalize on somebody and make money. No. It is, Henry Ford said, not everybody has the ability to build industries. Not everybody has the ability to make $1 billion. Some people are content with getting a regular job and earning enough money to take care of their wife and their children and pay their health care fees and all of that. So what's capitalism as opposed to communism? Capitalism is that those who have the ability to make $1 billion, let them make it. Society should protect them, guide them, knowing that these are our $1 billion makers. Are you getting my point? That let nobody steal from them. Let's all protect them. Because if a man builds a company that's worth $1 billion, all of us will have jobs in it. And then at the end of the day, when he's dying, this is still part of their, it was the Puritans that laid the foundation for all these things. Because they say each man received from God different amounts of talents. So by the time the man is dying, they don't expect him to pass the money down to his descendants. Why? Because according to Solomon, who knows whether the boy is a fool? Or he's not. So, no, the foundation of it is that make $1 billion will help you make it. Will imprison the thieves who want to steal from you. Will protect your home. Will protect your intellectual property. That's why they have intellectual property protection. If you invent something, we won't let anybody else copy it. We want people to keep on inventing. But, Oga, when you have made $1 billion, to whom much is given? Much is expected. We need a new hospital. We will come to your doorstep and come and beg for money. Are you getting my point? Yes. It is. I pray you get the point. When you want to beg for money, in quotes,
It is such people. Why? Because they are the custodians of money. That is how it is done. And when the man is dying, lest his sons be fools, they will now tax his, if he gives the children money, inheritance tax in those societies, they are heavy. They tax the thing heavily. That, listen, this ability is not in the genes. Maybe God didn't give it to you. And a lot of them, the boys, when the father was making money, the boy was smoking. Do you understand? So that's why you get to their societies, you find out that a hospital is built, is named after somebody. You see schools named after people, libraries all over the world, Rockefeller Foundation, just giving out money. Alfred Nobel made a lot of money and decided to improve people's quest for, you know, knowledge and reward excellence. So he started Nobel Prizes. So there's Nobel Peace Prize, literature, physics, medicine and physiology, economics, all of that from the money that he made many years ago. Because to whom much is given? Much is expected. What am I saying? So you see, if a man really believes in something, that's what I'm trying to explain, then he gives towards it. I was going to explain that principle. So if a man makes so much money and he says, listen, this is the solution to all the problems of mankind. Do you know the matter of fact? He will give towards it unless he's a wicked soul or truly he doesn't believe it. You know what you see outside is even from what you say inside. Hey, I've heard pastors talk in secret. In effect, they'll tell you, oh boy, that one are for pulpit. Now, so I did one. This is how I do it. But because the thing here is performance, that's one thing that annoys me. This is about a lot of preaching. That this place is a place where we perform, we practice what we say, we iron our shoes in such a manner as to reflect something. Hallelujah. Then, when we finish, we get down, we now do what we really believe. Let me tell you something. What a man really believes is reflected in how he spends money. That's what I'm trying to explain. No, what I'm telling is a matter of fact. It is reflected. How you handle money today, the side or no, expresses what you really believe about God concerning your future. You know, so things happen once in a while. Some time ago, in my workplace, you know, government reviewed pay and all of that. Not, it's not the review, it's the arrears they now paid. Money was now flowing right, left, and center. It was, buy land, build house, lay foundation. I tell my wife, not me. Everything has its time. This is not my time for those kind of things. So I said, this money that has come, what shall we do? We took scissors and began to shred it until it's finished. I went back to square one. I chop my portion, I give out my the other people's portion, share to everybody. But to say, now I said, listen, I knew long ago that I will live in a house finer than most Nigerians have ever seen. That is, I knew that. Good enough, it cannot be built with government paid a certain amount of money. How much is that? You lay foundation. Then what's going to happen after that? I have a rule from God, revelation. 12 months, foundation to finish it. I believe it so strongly that until the financial flow enters into that level, I'm not stepping into it. Somebody said, no, don't worry. Somebody was giving me advice. What you do is, you never can, you know, as the money is coming small, you'll be putting there and say, hey, you don't know thank you. I'll just smile as man they talk. How long would this take? One day, one of my seniors at work saw me in the car I drive now. He said, Dr. Lishino, come. Explain to me how you are doing this thing. Nobody saying what could they do. I said, okay, before we start, I'm not building a house. He said, it's true. 8 years, my brother, 8 years. He said, I never had any money. That thing just take all my... He said, listen, I have abandoned it. I said, okay, I learned this long ago. But he told me that there was a car he started driving around that time. He said, you know this car? I know I told you now that I bought it 2 years ago. I didn't have money to ship it from America to Nigeria. I said, okay, 2 years. He said, yes. Because he was using the money to buy block and iron rod and all of that. So he now got tired of driving his old car and now decided to cook 2 years he bought a car, left it somewhere in the U.S. He said he didn't have money for shipping and clearing. Now, I've told you before, faith has financial value. Some of the kind of smiles on my faith, on my face, the kind of joy is in my belly, and the kind of aroma that my presence, the aura around me, you know, exude. You know, get my point? Those who don't have my faith need at least $2.5 billion to achieve that level. Do you get what I say? The quality of my smile, the power of my presence, the joy in my soul. Those who don't have my level of faith, they need like $3.26 billion to reach that level. Rocket gave me a video to watch about billionaires, how they live. And I was just laughing. Men are competing on building boats. $50 million, $100 million, $200 million. And all I can do is laugh. That degree of laughter. That's what they are trying to get from building that boat. $200 million for the free laughter that I have. Why do I have it? Faith. So I don't need the $200 million. I already have it. You know, there's a saying, there's a proverb on my side of the country. They say, if a man wakes up in the morning and leaves his house to go and pursue after wealth, and on the way he meets honor and dignity. He said, what should he do? He said, he will go back home now. Because if he had gotten that money, he would have used the money to buy honor. That now he doesn't need the money anymore. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some people are looking for peace of mind. They say, a man bought, you know, a whole... You know, can you imagine, to get some quietness, he will buy a whole street, kick out millionaires from the street, so that only him can be the only guy there. Meanwhile, when you reach my house, on Wednesday evening, you will hear it, this is the day that the Lord has made. I have a pastor who's my neighbor. I think his daughter is a choir leader. Pastor doesn't have a generator, but he has a horn speaker. You know, if I'm lying down at home, let's say on a Sunday, there's a way I know light, there's no NEPA. There's no power. Once pastor is not making noise, I know there's no power. Once I hear, children of God, I know NEPA don't come back. Believe me, I sleep more peacefully than the billionaire who bought a whole street. That's what I'm saying. There's another pastor on my right. In fact, there are many pastors on my street. I am one pastor. There's one pastor with a church on the left. And there's one pastor living there. It's not the church. The winner's pastor lives next to me. His generator comes up. Mike follows. You know, two of us just donate. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Generator. In the midst of all the generator noise, you know, that's why they put my head down and sleep peacefully. Some men need $500 million worth of purchase to get that amount of sleep. So God's a banker, yeah, they don't need the $500 million. You get the point? Say, yes, I do. Just go and preach my gospel. And I'll do you like Paul, like Daniel. Centuries after, they'll still be reading you when they forget the billionaire. Don't chase after billions. Don't worry. You don't know what God has done for you. That's why you are chasing after some things. There are men, Solomon said, there are men, they have married 25 wives and girlfriends. Idiots will look from afar and say, that man is enjoying if you are not a believer. You don't understand. You want to see enjoyment? Come and see Pastor Banky. That is enjoyment. I've been married for 11 years. I love my wife. I don't want to exchange her for another. Yes, that's enjoyment. The guy is jumping from one woman to the other. He's the one who's suffering. He's chasing something that's eluding him every time. Oh, I wish you get the point. The Frenchman said, love many women. You've loved none at all. Love one woman and you love them all. Say, love one woman and you have loved all of them. So some people wake up in the morning, say, I'll be Abuja politician. You give a girl 5 million naira for the weekend. And Pastor Banky, God is saying, say, Banky, he say, yes, sir. You don't need that. I say, I know. Just phone your wife. It's free call once you pay your CUG charges. So I call my wife from wherever I am. Baby, how you doing? Yeah, I'm fine. Love you. That's 5 million naira investment. That's it there. 5 million. One irresponsible 60-year-old man is giving a 22-year-old girl $5 million to get the feeling I just got from a free 1-minute phone call. All the excitement they are looking for that will cost them 50 million naira. All I need to do is get home. Baby, where are you? That's it. 50 million naira. Can you see? See how rich I am. I do what I have in life. A man with $5 billion doesn't have it. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Hey, let me get back. I hope you learn something. All this. I digress plenty. Sometimes I look at myself, say, Pastor Banky, why don't you just order your life straight? Honestly, I did try. I just don't know what's going on. I started from somewhere. Now, let me go back to where we were before I went into all this confusion on the side. Amen. Did you learn something from that? Because it's still the truth I say anyway, whichever side I say it. Now, this is what I'm making. So, you see, a man's faith, I was saying, is reflected in how he spends money. Are you getting my point? It is. If you really indeed, like for me, that's what I was saying, I believe so much that God has my future in his hands. I don't do anything for the security of tomorrow. For the sake of that security. No, I don't. I'm not lying to you. I do them because of other reasons, which, listen to me, must be directly tied to the matter of faithfulness. Yes. I told the first time I bought stock, bought shares and all of that. People say, because of tomorrow, I said, that was the reason I just wouldn't. And then one day I stood there and I preached a message. He that sows in tears shall reap with joy. Now, then, Charles Ludo just read it out to all the banks that if you don't capitalize to the tune of 25 billion, forget it. So I said simply, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. That it is time to finance our own economy. I preach it from this very platform. In obedience to the word that I preached, I did what I told people to do. Now, listen to me. Share price went up. I was not moved. It went down until it almost went underground. I was not moved. Do you know why? I did what I did for reasons different from that which was, those things were reflected. Life as a Christian is spiritual. For me, that was a spiritual thing. One day, my wife was supposed to invest in something. I was traveling. Excuse me. I was traveling. Just as I got to that second bridge, around that 9 mile bridge, I came from this Transit Kulon. I just said, these people will be coming to my house to talk to my wife. I just said, she should give them whatever amount of money that thing is going to cost. So I called her. I said, when these people come, two young women, I said, when they come, just give them that money if you have it for that particular project. For a second, she was like, why are you asking? And why are you saying this now? I said, no, that you're just thinking about it. Do you know what? I didn't know she was answering that call with those two people in front of her. I was driving. I just called. I was going to Newe, I think. I just said, you said these people were coming today? She said, yes. That when they come, I just said, why are you saying that? I said, no, I just feel in myself. I said, no, I'm asking you because they are right here with me. I told myself, it must be God that told me to tell her that. Did she make a naira of it? No. Did she lose some money? I think so. Everything put together, yes. Lost some money. Do I regret it? No. Hey, I pray you get to that point in life. You are not the only human being on this earth, though. And you are not the only child of God. And you are not the only one he wants to bless. There are times God takes from you to bless somebody else because he knows that you have no problem with it. I don't know what I get my point. He knows if I take from the other fellow, he will commit suicide. He said, you that I'm sure you won't commit suicide, give me small. And I told my wife something that day. I said, you say you like this kind of thing. She said, yes. I said, that's what is called seed sowing. Oh, please. That is real seed sowing. I don't know what I get my point. You believe, you like it, and then you have to give to what you believe, that thing which you claim to believe in. Women have asked me before, me talk to young people here and there. I've done a few marriage seminars. People now say that, how do you know a man really loves you?
I said, I don't know. May God help you to know. It's a matter of fact. But there's something I always say. I say, a man that does not give to you does not love you. Listen, not every man that gives to you is a normal person. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying everyone who gives to you loves you. Some of them are criminals who like to bribe. Are you getting my point? Some of them are members of PDP. They just like to bribe people. You follow what I'm saying? That's not what I'm saying now. I'm not saying that but the reverse is what I'm talking about. Nobody who claims to love you and does not give to you is telling the truth. None. The only thing you should be careful of is to ask yourself, what does he have? Don't let a man steal to impress you. You will go to jail together. Are you getting my point? It is acceptable, I keep on saying, according to what a man has, not according to that which he does not have. If a man does not have at all, then it's permitted not to give you at all. But if he has money to buy 500 naira recharge card, then there's MTN, sell and share, or share and sell. Or virtually every network in Nigeria now has a way by which they can split, even if it's 25 naira card you have, you can give her 12 naira and you keep 13. You know it's possible. So if he never sends you, he says, okay, you know I don't have money. But every time you see, he's always on the phone. He's always making phone call. And he never remembers one day to just share with you a half recharge card. Tell him, say, come. You say you love me. Pastor Banky said you don't. Say, Pastor Banky said you don't. Now, you see, balance is what? The key to life. I did not say, you know, I've said it before. You don't try and impress a woman. Have I said so? Yeah, I said that several times. You don't try. You shouldn't try. You should not try. But, despite the fact that we know you're not supposed to go and try and impress her, what I mean is that pretending to be what you are not. When you're coming to her house, normally, now, bike you they take. But anytime you're going to see her, we know you don't have a car, amen. You not take a taxi. Normally, you know it's bus and keke napep. That's what you use. But now because you are going to Angela's house now, you now go and take a taxi. Just so that the taxi can drop in front of Angela's house. You now come out looking like a G. Listen, my brothers, that is unnecessary. Amen? 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 I said amen?
Amen.
Uh-huh. That one is not, I refuse. If now Okada followed the Okada with pride, say, yeah, stop me from here. Yeah, wait, near their window where they can see me, come down. Come down properly, yes. Okay, did you see that? Oh, that my customized Okada that brought me here. Yes, no problem with that. So I'm not saying you should go and become what you are not. But in the midst of that which you are, something must come out of you towards her. Yes. That's a matter of fact. Why am I saying so? So if I really believe in something and I don't give towards it, you know, sometimes, you know, people make me laugh. Now, I pray you will be able to understand this thing, what I'm saying. Sometimes people, maybe I travel once in a while, you see people say, that your ministry is such a blessing. You have blessed me, changed my life, this and that, this and that. Oh, may God bless you. Okay, I'll just be looking. In all honesty, when there are people that I know very well, I am never impressed. You know why? I don't look you. You're not my source. I've never begged anybody for money. For this work where they do, never. The car where you did drive, it is shine like rainbow. You're looking so... you know my wife sells things. I know the cost of the perfume you're wearing. You now finish blessing me and blessing the ministry and speaking so widely, and you tell me bye-bye. I'll carry out the Thanksgiving and give you back to you. My friend. Get away from there. Your checkbook not there. Ask me, say, Pastor, please, what is the ministry account number? But hey, I know you are being blessed that time. I will now say, okay, write it down. Then I know you are being blessed. Now listen, I hope you can get the balance of what I'm saying. I don't beg anybody for money. Never. 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 And I'm not, listen, begging is one thing. Then using style to wait for it is another thing. I also don't do that. If I catch myself trying to think about doing it, I slap myself in the face and stop it. But some things are right.
You can't be financing a car you are driving with 200,000 naira a month, paying the phone bills of 50, 80,000 naira a month, and telling me that you are blessed by the word I'm preaching, and you are watching it on television. Oh. The broadcast is coming to your house free of charge. Oh. And you thank me and thank me and thank me and shake my hand and walk out. I'll just look and say, they don't have manners where you come from. In my mind. Listen, I know the verse. I know they put out for mind. I will still bless you tomorrow. But I know what is proper to do. If you really listen. Because I tell people that, okay, you were blessed, yes. You wanted other people to be blessed, yes. And listen, everybody, people are on different levels. There are those that after all of that, all they can give to follow the ministry is just 20 naira. And you know in Kingdom World Ministry, those of you who are co-workers, it is acceptable, amen? It is. But then, there are people who are paying, you are paying the bank 250,000 naira a month to drive a nice brand new Jeep that you collected from Kia or from Toyota. And you are using that same mouth to tell me simple thank you. I don't know you. I know they vex for you. Are you getting my point? But I know you don't have manners. Oh, you know what I mean? Spiritual manners. You don't get that. Yes, no, actually, you don't. That is, listen. One day, man, I told this story before. He saw me. He said, I'm very happy to see you today. Now that I'm seeing you, I'm happy. So what is the source of your joy? Amen. Share it with me. That one day I came to their church and I preached. That he took those things I said. He heard me on radio, took those things I said, and he went, that he's a craftsman. And he's going about his business, that's all he practices. And that do I know since that time he's been tremendously blessed. Okay, so now that you are very happy to see me, what is the issue? That he knows he will collect 2 tapes from me today. And he walk and shake it. You will collect this for you today. God punish me if I give you 1 tape. me, this banking. Oh, in my mind, I removed my Kuboko. In my mind, I was flogging him like this, and he was crying and rolling on the floor. In my mind. But on the surface, I just put one smile like... Ah! I wanted to tell his pastor, say, your people don't have manners. The other day, I saw a man, a lawyer. He got Gozie to introduce. He said he found out that Gozie knew me and had been scheming to meet me. Finally, he greeted me, almost bowed with his head to the floor. He said he wants to show me a letter he wrote, but he can't show me yet. Listen to this. You know people who have manners. He said the reason is because he wrote this letter months ago after I read the book, How to Work for God. He has bought the book. He has bought and bought. He keeps buying and giving to people. He said, but when he wrote the letter, I realized that he cannot come and give it to me like that. So he's waiting to be able to. He said, should I understand what he's saying? I said, I do. That he said, please, I shouldn't be angry with him. That he said he could show me the letter, and I wrote it like a month or two before that day. But that the time hasn't come. That he can't walk down to come and say thank you with an empty hand. In my mind, this man has manners. This is the interesting part. He didn't ask me for books. He just mentioned that these are the only one of his books or my books that he has. I walked to my car, gave him the ones he did not have. Are you getting my point? But the one who was telling story of how much God has blessed him financially, who want to collect from me. That's what they call poverty mentality. He looked at me, said, this is man of God. He has no problems. Let me tell you something. I have parents. Well, I have a mother now. My dad is late. I have parents-in-law. And my parents too. All right? Listen. When I got married, one of the wedding presents my parents-in-law gave us was a car. So you know how much money they can afford. But you know, it's never crossed my mind that periodically something won't drop from my system to them. It doesn't happen. There are times I stretch, we gather money and buy. I say, listen. You don't give to parents because they are poor. You give to parents because they are what? Parents. You know, when my dad died, my mother would say that, nobody can say that you didn't take care of your father. No, that's what she... The first year's salary I earned working in the hospital, everything put together, complete, without ₦1 removed, I used to buy a gift for my father. He needed it or not is besides the point. He's what? A parent. It's not, you don't only give to those who are broke and hungry. There are people that they want, hey, I know people like that. They will give you anything, just be, let them see that you are suffering. But once you can't demonstrate that you are suffering, they won't give you anything. That's not right. There's a side in which you give to people because they are suffering. Are you getting my point? But there are other things. You don't give to your parents. You don't give to somebody who blesses you. You don't give to, there are people you don't give to because they are hungry. Your father is a multi-millionaire, I know. All you earn in a month is just this 15,000 naira, I know. The other day, my wife said, I want to send my mother a recharge card. And she sent 1,000 naira recharge card to her mother. I know her mother pays more than 20,000 naira a month on one of her lines. I know that. So what's 1,000 naira? The first time my wife traveled abroad, I was supposed to pay ticket. My mother-in-law said, no, this one I'm paid. I've sent all of my other children. I've given them money to go abroad. This is only your wife I've not done that for. So money is not her problem. But just took phone and say, let's do MTN. Is it share and tear? What? Sell and share. And she called back and prayed for us and prayed for. How much is 1,000 naira recharge card? She can use that to talk to her grandson at a sitting. Where's Bobo? That's my son. Call him for me. She can sit on the phone and blow down 1K. There. But that's a parent. That prayer she prayed for 5 minutes. Out of the little money, don't use part of her pray for you again. No, that one, you need it. What did I say? You need it. You know, I'm talking about balance, all right? See, I can't give rules. Time is going to say I want to close now, all right? But this point I want to make. You see, I'm just explaining things here and there. To fashion a thought, a thinking pattern into your mind. Only 2 points I've made today. Number one, that money is a reflection of, it's a form of exchange. It's a way by which you expend your energy, your strength in life, all right? And later on you see it, the grace of God also. Because not just, as Christians, not your own energy. Money is also a manifestation of God's power that he has poured into you. Therefore, the use of it is a sign of how faithful you are in using that which God committed into your hands. That's number one. Then number two, I said it's a sign of what you really believe. It is. That's what I'm talking about up to this point. It is. Let me make this point because, let me stop there because I don't have all the time. Look, in details, if you want details, go and read How to Work for God, Grace to Prosper, and listen to those CDs I mentioned earlier. Let me just make some some other points. There's one more I want to make today, and then we'll close with it. Quickly open to the book of Galatians chapter 6. We've read this several times before, but just appropriate to add it to the one that we are reading right now, and the things we are discussing. Again, this is something I've said to you several times. Just need to say it to make this message complete. He said from verse 6, and let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. That's verse 7. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Please, where I'm going is verse 9. Let me jump to it and then I'll stop it there. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. And then he now said, so then, verse 10, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Now, let me just stop there briefly. Now, one more point I want to make, and I close with it, then we'll continue from there next time. I don't want to make this too long, not to have a long series on money matters again. We've had a series here and there. It's just one thing, which is the main thing in what we're discussing now as part of our faith basics. Paul made a statement here. He said, let's not get tired of doing good. And bring out something here is this. By quoting that. What I'm bringing out is this. Again, before I tell you what I'm bringing out, let me give it to you straight. The reason why I want to say this is because in Christianity of today,
One of the main jobs that preachers have now is to go around raising money. Please, I don't mean that as an insult, though. Nobody said I vex, so. You know what I'm saying? I'm not angry. I'm not criticizing. Have you noticed that some trucks in Enugu, they emit smoke when they are driving? Have you noticed that? If I now mention to you that trucks in Enugu, they emit smoke, are they vexed? No, it's just a fact that, look, sometimes trucks emit smoke. Doesn't mean I'm angry. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some taxis have broken light. Is that not the fact? So if you're driving at night, be careful. The light, the car may just be a car, not a motorbike. It doesn't mean I'm angry. The Lord is good. No, I need to explain so that you won't think I'm being critical and I'm just abusing somebody. I'm just telling you. And I'm a preacher. And I've talked to preachers. I've been to the church to preach before. The man said he was trying to coach me on how to help him tell his members to sow seed. And they got punished. If you want to die, die on your own. I have a wife that I love very much and children that adore me next to God. If I'm the only God, they know. If I tell them there's no God, they'll say there's no God. If I say there's God, there's God. So I'm the representative of God in their life. For the sake of my wife and my children, I don't want to die now. You die on your own. Have you ever seen a grave dug for two people except they die in an accident? I beg you. Proper burial. It's one man per grave. Leave me alone. I mean, I've been seeing caskets all my life. I'm not seeing one made for two people. What I'm saying is, as the man was saying it, I look at him. Jaguda. Now who you go kill you define? And then I say, I better go. You get some things where temptation that they push me into. I said, you know you are the pastor of the church. Yes, they know you very well. They will believe you. Go and tell them. The young pastor was very disappointed. One day somebody told me something. He said that, please, sir, I was told to tell you that your message today is to use to encourage people to bring money with this. I said, they sent you to tell me that. He said, yes, sir, you decrease. I said, confess. What I'm telling you is not a joke. I said, come. I want to ask you a question. You did mad? He said, sorry, it was a message. I said, listen to me. If anybody ever gives that message, you should know some things that are too big for your mouth. In your life, never approach me that kind of nonsense again. He said, sorry, sir. Get out of my way. You want to die? You know, I've told you, caskets are one at a time. Just your own casket, go and collect it. Don't join me. The Lord is good. I know what I'm saying. So, one man, he finished in one church like that as he was going home. He heard a voice. Say, if you want to see your wife and your children before, again, just go and return that money. To the driver, please turn. Reach Jesus. The man, he went to one church. Hey, fire! If you just give now, fire from heaven. Fire! So people were pouring money. So at the end of the day, he collected his portion. So Americans taught us that one. I'm serious. In America, they do it in a court. You know, the lawyers in America will sue. They can sue a tree, sue your dead father, just to collect money. Yeah. You know, Americans, they can sue your father that has died, that his will was not appropriate. Then when they collect the money, a quarter, 40% is their own. So that's why they sue recklessly. They said, I had the accident because you sneezed. Your sneezing was wrongly timed. Why did you sneeze when I was about to overtake? It sounds funny. If you see the kind of warning they write on things in America now, there was one they even wrote. They realized I just listed them once. They wrote on the back of a sweet. Please, kindly remove the wrapper before you put it in your mouth. Because if somebody put it out, they said you didn't want them. One woman was awarded $5 million, said that she burnt her lips with coffee, that McDonald's coffee was too hot. That for McDonald's making coffee that's too hot, $5 million. Because some lawyers knew how to manipulate the system. Anyway, this man went to the church too. That's where we learned that thing from. Man came, raise money. He collected his portion and he was going home. On the road, he was in the car. The voice of God came to him, said, oh boy, you like your wife? He said, yes. Your children, you like them? He said, yes. You want to see them again? Why not? If you want to see them again, that money is toxic. Go and return it. He gently turned around, went to the pastor who gave him the money. He said, God bless you, sir. God said, according to Pastor Banky, casket, one person, take. He gave him the money. I'm not joking. He gave him the money back. The Lord is good. So, do you want me to talk? Nobody said I vex. I just did talk. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. Why I need to say this is because you are going to be put in a fix one day. You will sit down and a man will tell you that I preached this message somewhere. Somebody sold his right leg and raised 10 million and gave us an offering. The next day he has 15 legs to walk on. Only him. And one man refused and God removed his two hands and his two legs. You are going to be there. And you want to come and say, Pastor Banky, please come and hear. What do I do? And I will tell you, be it unto you according to your faith. Okay, listen. Unless you're a Catholic, you have gone through, even Anglicans have learnt it. But I think they have repented in recent times. They almost learnt it. Unless you're a Catholic, you have been there before. Okay, even if you're a Catholic or a Muslim, you have watched television. Oh, there's a grandmother watching me. Your grandson is on drugs. Go to the phone right now and sow a seed for his deliverance. Is it right or wrong? I don't want to discuss that now. But no, that one, 95% of the chance that guy is just a criminal. I don't mean the boy on drugs. I mean the man asking for the money. All right? That's the chance. All right? I'm sorry. It's you that I want to protect. Why did I read that scripture? If you are not a giver, one offering won't give you breakthrough. I've said it so many times. If you are somewhere, somebody putting pressure on you, don't ever jump up there. Go home and sleep overnight on it. The reason is because decisions you make under pressure, when you slacken when the pressure is off, you lose the reward entirely. I want to help you balance because I've seen people that they are so, you know, the mouth of their pocket, the tailor sewed it with araldite. You know what I mean? So nothing is coming out from inside. They lost their checkbook, ATM card, account number, nothing. That money, that bank, nothing is coming out. Why? Because they are afraid that somebody wants to take advantage of them. Again, that is what? Wrong. Balance is what? The key to life. So the main point I want to make so we can strike that balance is this. Whatever you cannot continue as a habit, there's no point starting it. Let me put it another way. Cultivate a habit of biblical financial management. Like one of my friends told me the other day, and I was telling him when he asked me this, that the pastor said they should bring all their money for this month. I said there are messages sent. Now, let's assume God spoke to that pastor. I'm not saying God did. I'm not saying he did not. Let's just assume he did. I said there are messages sent to career stingos. You know what's a stingo? Stingy man. There are messages that God sent. He said, sell all you have and give to the poor. Those were things he did not demand of Matthew, a tax collector. Did you notice that? Those were things he did not demand of Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him. How can a man, you know, except he talked with the man and told him to go. They caught one man and said, I don't catch you today. Sell all that you have and give to the poor. There was a reason why he didn't tell Matthew. He didn't tell James, John, Peter. He didn't tell them that. Just come, leave everything, follow me. There's a reason why he did not tell that to Nicodemus. But he said that to the rich young ruler. I don't want to analyze the reason now, but notice what he said to one was different from what he said to the other. So I told my friend, there are messages, even if that man heard from heaven, that was sent to people who God is trying to break the araldite seal in their pocket, reintroduce ATM cards and their checkbooks into their lives, that money might come out from there. I said, it may not be for people like you who have made it a habit that as soon as you get money, you take seed for the sower and give it out. And you take your own bread for food. You apportion everybody's own portion. Don't obey the word sent to the rich young ruler. Meanwhile, you are one person that God doesn't have such a problem with. Are you getting my point? Listen, one of the ways why you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, I'm sorry to say it like this. People come, there are all kinds of stories. It's always stories. I preached this message somewhere. A woman obeyed it. And then the following day, she became a billionaire. I preached one yesterday. And somebody, they went there and tells you, you know, people are greedy. Yes, they are greedy. And they are selfish. If you say, listen, this word will go and bless people all over the world, they won't answer. But you say, yes, once you do this, you will become the next governor of your local government. They won't even know there are no governors in local governments. They will just jump up. They want to tap into it. Tap into it quickly, quickly. One brother said, I want to tap into their speed. I say, oh. I wish you knew their speed. Because the man who didn't know what he was saying, though God had blessed him, came and said, I gave 100 today. The following day, I got 10,000. You think that's his speed? The Lord help you. We'll continue next time. Please, I just had to finish this. All right? The Lord is good. What I just had to say with all of this is simple. The only reason why you won't fall for all of that is when you already have truth that you are practicing in your life. Are you getting my point? Then you will operate by what you really believe. Listen, let them just say this one. Don't ever give money into what you don't believe because of what you will get. You have just thrown that money away. I don't know what the hell I said. Anytime you get up and you give money purely because of what you are going to get, hear me. You threw it away. Let me say one more time. Any days, no matter who it is who motivates you, and you give money purely because of what you were promised it will return to you, you threw the money away. If you are giving money, make sure you know why you are giving money and you believe in the why. That's all. Then whether you ask God for multiplication or not, naturally, you have sown into the realm of the spirit and you will reap a reward. Let me leave it there. We'll continue that next time.